Hello, welcome to the Hunt Your Love podcast. I had the opportunity of speaking to some people in the music scene over the course of the week, and one thing I quickly had beaten back into my consciousness is the fact that music is business, and like all businesses, you should always have a strategy. One of the most important strategies I learned from those guys is the 5 W's module. The 5 W's of who, what, why, where, and when. In answering these questions, you can frame it like with the why question. Why are you making a song? Is it because you're in love? Is it because you're sad? Are you in a celebratory mood? And all of that. With the who question, who are you making the song for? Is it for a love interest, your audience, a specific group of people, a tribute to a late colleague like we had with MC Loof and Da Green? The third question would be, what way do you want to make the song? What's your stylistic inference on the song? The production technique you want to use? The genre you want the song to be in? The instrumentation you want the song to be with? After answering all of these questions, the next important step and our main focus for this episode is when to make the song. For the purpose of business, I'd say it's almost as important as when you make the song as to the song itself. There's this joke about Wizkid and how he has a hard drive of songs that he would never release, and his fans would always say if they ever get a hold of the hard drive, they would listen to all the songs on their own and release it out to the public. Sometimes a sound may be too forward for the listener consciousness, and I think people like Wizkid understand that, and that's why they have all those songs that they would never release. Sometimes the sound may be too past and nobody wants to bring sand to the beach. So it's as much as you don't want your sound to be too forward and the listeners will not have as much of a feel as they would when it would be released at the relevant time, and you don't want your sound to be too common as with everybody else's sound. When a song is too forward, it can be frustrating for the artist because you know you have the quality creation but you can't maximize it to its potential because the audience is simply not ready for that kind of song at the particular point in time. It's not as if the song is not good. It is good, but the audience is just not ready. So, in my opinion, here are 10 songs that I think suffered the fate of being too ahead of time and could have been bigger if they had been released when the audience had acquired the taste for such a sound. Number 10 song for me on this list is Lil Keshi's and Olamide's Problem Child. One of the things that bugs my mind about the Nigerian music industry is how easily you can climb and how easily you can just decide, okay, I'm not doing this anymore. And if there's anybody that has attained such a height of success and just kind of withdrew from the entire thing, it would be Lil Keshi, because it's always much of a surprise to me how quickly he rose to that in-demand status as a 2015-2016 after Shoki and the rest, and decided it was all too easy for him and he left. That's what I think he did, because I don't think skill was a problem. I don't think talent was a problem. I don't think dedication was a problem, because as Olamide said back then, every single song was a hit back to back to back to back. There were few artists on his level as at the time he was popping that were giving us hits with that much consistency. There were jams for days at that time. So I just think he just decided it was too easy for him and he left or something like that, because there was skill, there was talent, and if there's any song that urges his versatility in the Nigerian music industry, it has to be Problem Child. And the way he envisioned Afro Trap to be as at the time the song was released. When I first heard Problem Child in 2016, I was blown away by how cleanly himself and Olamide achieved that Afro Trap essence. And I think it's one of the best Afro Trap songs ever made. Where I think the problem was is that the music was too forward for the time it was released. And the Nigerian music listenership had not matured to accept that kind of sound at the time. Of course, these days we have artists like Superboy Check, Black Bones, who sometimes delves into that Afro-trap genre. And Check is very much associated with that Afro-trap sound now from Zoom and some of his subsequent songs. But this song, released in 2016, Problem Child, Lukesh, was one of the first songs to delve into that genre of merging Afrobeats and trap. That was before Terry Akpala released Champagne Shower, a few months prior to Terry Akpala's Champagne Shower. So I think this song was too forward for its time, and it suffered the fate of being too forward for its time. If not, it's a very good song, and if you still want to listen to Afro Trap in that manner, I would suggest this song to you. Lukesh and Olamide, Problem Child. Number 9 song for me on this list is P-Square and Alaye, Temptation. One of the biggest revelations from Wizkid's Ojo Elegba remix for me has to be how it opened the relationship of Nigerian artists and their foreign collaborators. For some clarity, I would say Wizkid was on Drake's One Dance in 2016. Davido had Meek Mill on Fans Me in 2015. Yes, 2015. Burna Boy was on Dave's Location in 2019. If I remember correctly, I would say 2017, because I had that time frame in my head when Wizkid was on Tiny Tempah's Mamacita. But one thing from this song that I noticed is the fact that the Nigerian artists on the song were too readily available to compromising their own artistry so that they can blend with the foreign act. But it wasn't always so, because even before that period of having that foreign collaboration, we had people like Two-Face and Beanie Man on Fnei Baga remix. But it wasn't as popular or as accepted as P-Square's Temptation with the UK artist Alaye on Temptation. Because it wasn't such a thing for Nigerian artists to collaborate with. They would really collaborate with Nigerian artists of the same caliber as themselves. Maybe an A-lister collaborating with an A-lister, a B-lister collaborating with a B-lister, and if you want to up your skill, a B-lister collaborates with an A-lister and all of that. So it wasn't as big of a thing to collaborate with foreign artists until P-Square did it in 2005, and I believe they don't get the rep or the props that they are due, because it was too forward for its time. It was not a sound that many people appreciate the song for what it is. Many people do not appreciate the work that went into getting a UK artist on a Nigerian song at the time that this song came out. And of course, it's one of the things that it had to suffer was that it didn't get the props that it was supposed to get, because it was too ahead of its time. And that was P-Square and Alaye's Temptation. Number 8 song for me on this list would be Adekunle Gold's Young Love. Most people would never know that this song is an Adekunle Gold song. I didn't know. I forgive myself, Sha. But I didn't know that this song was an Adekunle Gold song until I saw it on TV. It's not a song that you expect to see on Adekunle Gold's discography. And why is that? I think because it was ahead of its time, even though it's barely 2 years old. This kind of song, that's Adekunle Gold's Young Love, is the kind of song that you have as an opener to a career or a closer to a career. It's not one of those songs you just talk in the middle of your evolution, so to say. I believe if Adekunle Gold had given that phase of his music career a little more time, it would have grown on the people. Because I don't see how he could have evolved beyond that point. That era was so good. I enjoyed almost all of the songs he released in that era with collaborators from UK, people like Mologo and the rest. If it had come at the time as in 2021, where we have Essence and all of that, I think it would have been better accepted, because the Nigerian music consciousness is not as was not as matured as it is now, and a lot of people would not have been open to the unique and fresh input of that kind of sound as they would now. And of course, it's one of those things that you suffer for being ahead of its time, and it's just one of those songs that would just highlight a very successful career. And if you haven't heard the song, this is your cue to go and hear the song, of course, that's what I always do. Great forward thinking in the production and the songwriting, but the song would have done much more for his image if it were released in a time where the Nigerian music listenership is as sophisticated as it is now. But that's just my opinion on Adekunle Gold's Young Love. Number 7 song for me on this list is Dice Isles, Ella. If you have been paying any attention to the Nigerian music industry over the past couple of months, you would have observed that CK's Love Wantinti, that song, is a viral hit on almost all platforms that you can think of, from Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, and all of that. There are challenges. I was on YouTube, I think, 2 days ago, and I was watching compilation videos of foreigners dancing and even singing the song. It's that much of a viral sensation now, and it's a viral superstar. But with the success of this new sound, which CK calls emo Afrobeat, there would be a new influx of artists singing like that. Why is that? It's because labels would want to replicate that kind of success that Love Wantinti had. Where the problem is for me now, according to this list, is the fact that people like Dice Isles had already sung with this style and had it go by almost unnoticed. Emo Afrobeat, emotional Afrobeat, Afro Rave, or whatever you'd call it, is this very melodic auto-tune mesh of Afrobeat. Very rhythmic, very melodic, and you'd almost be caught off guard listening to the song when you find yourself. When we have artists like Rema, CK, and some other new people coming along using this very subtle, almost playboyish, not playboyish really, almost childish tune of singing, and it's crazy because Dice Isles was there before everybody else, and he had songs like Miracle, but no song before Ella proved his mettle on this style of making music, and I think it would have been much better for his career if Ella had been released in this dispensation and not in 2017, that is 4 years ago, when he had released it. So I think it suffered the fate of being too ahead of its time, and if given a chance, I think he should make something else of this nature. Of course, he's one of the most original people with this kind of sound, so you'd have no problem making that. I think he did with Pim Pim, but it wasn't as clean as Ella, in my opinion. So Ella is one of those songs that ahead of its time in emo Afrobeat. So that's just my thought on it. Number 6 song for me on this list would be Race, Jack Sparrow. Over the past few years, the Nigerian music listener has had a variation of altered dynamic with listening to music. And I think a lot of marketing and business people in music have caught on to that fact. I mean, with streaming services and a new worldwide audience, we have reaction channels now on YouTube reacting to Nigerian music. We have podcasts speaking on Nigerian music. We have Nigerian music going abroad and featuring on radio stations and all of that. There has been more attention paid to quality instrumentation, good engineering, and a very supple melody. That's the word to use. I don't know. I just said supple and I laughed. It wasn't regular in Nigerian music at a time where a lot of music making was very rigid. You just have your first verse, your chorus, your hook, and second verse, chorus, hook, and go for 4 minutes and just make sure it gets complete at the end. But in 2013, there was this song I heard and that was crazy. We had people like Yaya doing Oreo, but I think the one that appealed to me most in 2013 was Race's Jack Sparrow. In this day and age, 2021, Nigerian artists are very much more assured in making music. There is this confidence with which they make music. It's almost like a vibration, and they put, I think it's the fact that there is enough money now to experiment with sounds that wasn't available back in 2013. But we had people like Reese doing that in 2013, and it's crazy because if he had released this song a little bit further down the line, say 2018, 2019, it would have done a lot more for his career than it actually did. Because I don't think prior to Tekno's Pana, any Nigerian song had that much of a vibrational effect on the listener as Reese did with Jack Sparrow. There are songs like Ekaiti by Mai Hunter and all of that. But I think this song is a very vibrational song, very vibey, and it would have done a lot more if it had been released further down the line. Number 5 song for me on this list is Alabai Ogbanje. I know I've spoken on this song before, but one of the biggest appeal I find in songs like this is the fact of clever wordplay, forward-thinking production, and just very catchy phrases. Something that an artist can sing and the fans would sing along to. And it's obvious in artists like Buju, Omale, Thames, and all that kind of artists. They sing their song and you can sing it back to them because they have that attitude of clever songwriting. This is what Alabai did back in 2013 with this song. It's crazy because he just dropped this song and I don't think I've heard any other. For somebody who listens to Nigerian songs a lot, I don't think I've listened to any other Alabai song, and it's crazy because it's not properly rated because of how much of a time before the song actually grew on people when it was released in 2013. Nigerian music listeners weren't exactly fucking with that kind of music as when it was released, and it's crazy to me. It would have done a lot more if it had been released later than it was. That was Alabai's Ogbanje in number 5. If you haven't listened to it, I think you should. This is your cute Ogbanje. And this song I mentioned, go and except I tell you that this song is shit, don't listen to it. And this song I mentioned is actually a song that I would suggest to somebody to listen to in the Nigerian music industry. Number 4 song for me on this list is Tiwa Savage, Get It Now. Pardon me, I'm speaking with my nose. This cold is very crazy. Afrobeat has had many incarnations over the course of its evolution to what we have right now. And I think one of the biggest inputs, apart from Nigerian music and some sort of Ghanaian influence on Nigerian music, has to be UK black culture. We have artists like, or producers like Jules, who is originally Ghanaian. We have P2J. That's P2J. P2J is my guy. When he comes, we have Guilty Beats. We have this guy that did Dimensions with Skepta and Rema. These guys are actually some of the biggest cornerstones in making Afrobeat. Malik Berry, of course. In making Afrobeat what it sounds like today. And Get It Now by Tiwa Savage is one of such songs that doesn't even sound like it was released 4 years ago, to be honest, because when you listen to that song, it's just, man, I don't know what they did on that song, because that song would have did as successfully as any other track on Tiwa Savage's Water and Gari, which is a very nice crossover appeal between Afrobeats and American pop culture. This song would have achieved that for her if it had been released as at the same time, this is 2021, instead of 2017. I'm not saying the song didn't get the buzz that it did, but that song is just too forward thinking for me, because Nigerians didn't actually deserve that song as when it came out. The song was that good to me. I don't know about the average Nigerian music listener. Here's the thing with listenership in music. A lot of radio stations actually pay attention to what the average listener will listen to. And in turn, they advise record labels on, okay, look, push this song. Okay, no, hold on this song. Push this song and all of that. promotion on the song actually comes a lot from what label heads think, and what label heads think is a lot of what radio station music managers think. It's just like a circle, but the effectiveness of it is that the listener actually informs what the artist produces. That's just how it is. The listener informs the radio head. The radio head informs the music label executives. The music label executives informs the music artist, and so on and so forth. The music artist then informs the public of a kind of song that they would like to listen. But this Tiwa Savage song goes ahead of that, and it gives us something that would have been released today and still sound as fresh as it was when it was released in 2017. And I think it was forwarding it over the fate of not being as impactful on Tiwa Savage's career as it would have if it had been released sometime like 2021. Number three song for me on this list is Black Magic, Rekpete. Now, Black Magic is not the first Nigerian artist to base his sound on that groovy jazz tune that is now sweeping Afrobeat since MIL dropped, that is Made in Lagos dropped. But there was no artist that had that distinct signature of saxophone, that is the saxophone used, as much as Black Magic did when he was popping with Rekpete back in 2013. The sound is just, I consider it one of the greatest injustices in the Nigerian music industry that Black Magic did not get the props he was supposed to get, because the Nigerian music listener was not as sophisticated as they are now to have observed his songs and given him the credibility or the props that he deserves when he made that music. I mean, we are now catching on to saxophone in Afrobeat 8 years after Rekpete was made, and it's one of those songs that I think should go down in Nigerian music history as a classic because of how forward thinking it was. And I don't think he can do a remix now, but if the song were released in 2021, it would have been massive for him, trust me. It would have been massive for him. So it's over the fate of being released too early, and I don't know what to say except better luck next time with releasing a song that's when the listenership is as sophisticated as the art itself. Number two song for me on this list is Burna Boy's Soke. Soke has to be one of Burna Boy's most instinctive Afrobeat songs. I know, because Burna Boy has had many iterations of his creative processes. He has done from Konto to blues to Afro soul to drill to trap. There's basically no sound that Burna Boy hasn't attempted making, and still Afrobeat is where he thrives best to me. I'm not saying he's not excellent across board, but Afrobeat is something that he connects with on a very deep conscious level, and when he sings Afrobeat, you can actually see him go beyond his normal self into somewhere deeper, you get. And Soke is one of those songs that he did that best on. And why I think this song is very forward thinking and it suffered the fate of not being as propped as the rest of his songs is the fact that it was released ahead of its time. It was released in 2015, and Burna Boy came into that full Afrobeat consciousness in 2018 on Outside with Ye and subsequent African Giants, Twice as Tall, and all of that. If Soke had been part of that catalogue in his discography, it would have been a lot bigger, because it's that good. It's one of those songs that is cut from the same cloth as Spiritual, Ye, and the rest. It's just pure aesthetic in African music. And if it had been released within that trifecta of Outside, African Giant, and Twice as Tall, it would have been a lot bigger, in my opinion. And it suffered the fate of being too forward for its time when it was released, even though it was a banger. But it would have done a lot more if it had been released at the same time as any of those projects. Number one song for me on this list is Olumide's Naughty. Now,
A lot of people have not heard this song. A lot of people have heard this song but do not know this song. And a lot of people know this song but do not give it the respect it deserves. If the Nigerian music industry were a school or a college, this song is like one of those songs that read ahead of class. I don't know if that makes sense. I can't bring my head to believe that a Nigerian producer made that beat in 2010. It's beyond me. I can't, because the sophistication in music production, and gosh, it just excels to me, because there was nothing like, except for Legendary Beats doing production at that, on that qualitative scale, I don't think a lot of people were making beats like that around that period. For instance, take a song that was released as at the time that it should have been released, something like Mad Over You, like Runtown, which has its place in Nigerian music consciousness. This song should have had its own place too in the Nigerian music consciousness if it had been released as at the same time that it should have, which is sometime, if it had been released any time from 2016 to this day, it would have been bigger for me, for and for Olumintin too. Let me give you an equivalent of what I'm trying to say. For instance, Soundgasm by Rema is a very big song now, but I don't think the Nigerian music listenership is ready for that sound. They are not as sophisticated as Rema would assume when he was making the song. And given a few years from now, a lot of people would hop onto that sound and it would be as if, okay, why didn't we release this song now? Why did we release it? There are songs like that that just shines the torch and then the torch just dies out and other people run along that path. Olumintin's Naughty is one of such songs that shine the torch on that path. And Olumintin's Naughty, I think, Come Out With A Pale by Lyric and Burna Boy, Ozone, Mujeed and Dami Crane is one of such songs that shone the path along that quality production process that is just laid back, chilled, and not given enough props as it should have been in the Nigerian music production circles. That's just what I think about this song. If you have not listened to it, you should totally go and listen to it. Olumintin, Naughty. Naughty is spelled N-A-W-T-I instead of the normal way. And it should be on your playlist if you are streaming. Stop downloading songs from blogs. It's actually thievery, because you are not paying artists for their creativity if you are downloading songs from blog. You're actually stealing from them. Make sure you buy songs. Make sure you stream songs and feed artists so they give you better quality songs. That is the end of today's episode. If you liked today's episode, you should subscribe to wherever you're listening from. Like if the platform allows you to like. And we hope to see you next episode. Ciao.